Hey everybody, welcome to the latest special episode of GRCast. It's me and Matt in the studio today. How's it going, Matt?
Very well, thank you. Excited for the next generation.
Yeah, excited. That might not be entirely the word for it. Well, with the big Xbox One reveal yesterday, Matt and I wanted to take a few minutes to sit down and sort of discuss it, break it down, maybe be excited, maybe be frustrated. Let's see how it goes. Why don't you, like, break it down for me, man? I didn't watch the thing. I wouldn't have known it was called the Xbox One if you hadn't emailed me to remind me that was happening. I guess I need to turn in my hardcore gamer card or something.
Well, I apologize for that. So, Microsoft had this big conference yesterday. It was all bells, all whistles, rock music, videos, a slideshow on three screens behind a Microsoft executive who used words like connected and next generation and the console that will make gamers this bit can be edited out. Anyway, they were very excited about it, and not many other people were. They kind of focused on their casual crowd. They announced a lot of new TV stuff. They announced not many games. They kind of focused on Halo and FIFA. I mean, there's a kind of stereotype that there's certain people that use their Xbox 360 for Netflix, FIFA, and COD. And it must be true because that's the people that Microsoft were trying to impress yesterday. And that's fine. I mean, you can't complain about that since that's their biggest demographic.
Right, yeah, pretty much everybody thinks of the Xbox as the shooter machine. I mean, that's all I ever used it for, which is silly because I always thought, well, if I'm going to play a game online, why wouldn't I play it on PS3 where I don't have to pay for it? But maybe it's just that, like you said, the assumption is there in such a way that if you're playing a sports game or a shooter game, you're like, I want to play where the audience is. That's Xbox, that's where I'm going.
Well, I mean, I've always bought Call of Duty on Xbox because there's less problems. You get the DLC earlier if that's something you want to buy into. The connection's definitely better. You know, it's a better product on Xbox.
You know what the other thing is that I like about Xbox is that the controller's better. I don't know why I like it better, but I just do.
Well, I feel like a lot of places have tried to copy it. I mean, the Wii U Pro controller is identical. The OnLive controller was identical.
That's true.
I mean, the Dreamcast controller is identical.
Right. Is the PS4 controller? It's basically just another PS3 controller. I feel like we're getting off topic here. This has nothing to do with Xbox.
Yeah, I think it's a little bigger. Mention the other side. But you know, they really did try to appeal to their main audience. And, you know, if there's one thing I learned last night about the core gamer, it's just how arrogant we really are. Because, I mean, how long have Microsoft been ignoring us at E3 and at their various conferences? They haven't announced any original core games in about 3 years. It's all been the next Gears of War or the next Halo or the next Call of Duty and then stuff that you can do with Kinect. And they've done it year after year after year. And every year, the core gamer has come out and they've gone, you know what? This year, Microsoft have gone too far. This year, that's it. They are no longer going to be successful. We're going to all abandon them en masse. And they're not going to make any money anymore. I've cancelled my live subscription. Screw Microsoft. And every year they've announced a huge profit. And, you know, the same sort of thing happened last night. So not only are they kind of arrogant, but they've got a very short memory. And I think Microsoft know that better than anyone, almost. Except maybe Square Enix.
I was out on the internet last night doing a little bit of, like, getting people's reactions or whatever, you know, just to see. Because when I read some of the stuff about it, I was just like, I don't know. I mean, they didn't say a lot, but what little they did say seemed like it would be largely frustrating to people. But on a lot of sites, the comment section was like, oh man, so glad to hear all this great information. Like, oh, this thing's going to be so much better than the totally gay PlayStation.
the announcement picture, when I checked last night, I haven't checked it since, it had 75,000 likes within about an hour. off the official Xbox Facebook page.
It seems like there's a lot of strange decisions going on there. When the PS, people are going to think we're really biased towards Sony. But to be honest, I would sort of rather play games on my 360 currently. If I have to choose between the two, I usually go 360. But at the PlayStation 4 reveal thing, it was like everything they announced made me excited. And at the so far with the Xbox One, I would say every announcement has made me indifferent at best.
I think the problem is that Microsoft don't have much to announce. There's a rumor been going around that they're about 6 months behind on all their games. I mean, I don't know what difference 3 weeks is going to make between now and E3, but if they can get together some more CG trailers, that'll be fantastic for them, I'm sure. And, you know, I do think that maybe last night was let's appeal to the people who we know are going to buy it anyway. Let's show them that the Xbox One is going to be the Xbox 360 with better graphics and more capability. And they probably sold it to a load of people. Let's face it, the average gamer in the US is going mad for it now. Not the hardcore gamer, but just kind of edging on the core, the sort of person who buys maybe one game a month and it's the headliner game. They want an Xbox One, regardless of the fact that it's got Kinect included, regardless of all that. It looks cool to them. It plays COD, and you can watch ESPN on it.
Yeah, I bet you're probably right. I want to spend at least 1 second talking about the fact that this machine is called the Xbox One. Are they? Presumably that name is meant to mean it's like the one thing you need in your living room, because it does your TV and it does your games and whatever else. But I already refer to their original machine, that giant black brick from years ago, as the Xbox One. So what is that now? Just the Xbox, and this is the Xbox One, and in the middle is the 360? I don't know.
Yeah, they you know, really extra frustrating because they had some pretty fantastic kind of revealed names over the last few months where Microsoft have ordered other websites, things like Xbox Infinity, you know, and things like that. Not great names, but you can imagine yourself going into the game shop and going, I'll have an Infinity, please, and sounding quite macho about it. But now you've got to go in there and say, I'll have a one, please. Give me a number one. It's not going to work.
It does seem strange to refer to it in conversation. I don't call it the Xbox. I call it the 360 when I'm talking to people. What do you got for 360? What are you playing on 360? That's just what it is to me. You're right. That's going to be strange.
There was even
to change.
Yeah. There was even a rumor that it was going to just be called Xbox. And I get the feeling that it's going to end up like that. Unless, I mean, I hate to be kind of this guessy, but maybe it is just the fact that they're kind of trying to go the way of Apple. Maybe this is Xbox One, and over the next year, 2 years, they'll announce Xbox Two.
That's what I was going to say. This is clearly an Apple-type maneuver where they just bring out first the iPad, then the iPad 2, then not the iPad 3, but the new iPad. And then I think the iPad 4th generation is just iPad again. So it's like, no, that's not confusing. Every Apple product you look at, you have to find the parentheses after the name to see, oh, it's 4th generation. Okay, that's the one I want.
Anything would be better than Xbox One.
Yeah, I really don't care for it. When they, I'm always keen to find out the names of new systems. So when they announced Wii U, everyone hated it. It's stupid. It doesn't make sense. It's just that they tacked another letter on there really for no reason. Then PlayStation comes out. They go, oh, we're making PlayStation 4. I'm thinking, yeah, way to have some creativity, dicks. Why don't you try something else? And then this is why, because Wii U and Xbox One are fucking terrible.
Yeah. I think there's some marketing departments that are just kicking themselves right now. Or not. You know, this is kind of the point of this article that I was saying yesterday. I mean, people are talking about it. I can't imagine anyone was sitting around going, Xbox One, that's a fantastic name. That displays everything we want people to know about this console. I can't imagine there's anyone there saying that.
No, probably not. All right, well, I have a little article open here that was recently posted on a website. with some information, and I kind of want to, I'll like bring up some talking points and we will complain or say it's great, either way. So here's the first one. This frustrates me. Does it require an internet connection? According to Microsoft's Phil Harrison, it will need to do so approximately every 24 hours at least. So technically, yes. If you lose your internet connection for like a full week, you will not be playing this machine.
I think this is going to be the sort of thing that we absolutely need to get more clarification on, as that sounds so damning, don't you think? I mean, is that the sort of thing that they'd announce an hour after the press conference? You know, and he's there. He's obviously said it, and I think it's on their official website as well. But does it seem like the sort of thing that they'd lead with? It seems strange to me. If true, it's going to be mildly inconvenient for a lot of people and completely annoying for others. And I think, you know, if you can get on Facebook or, you know, something like that, then it's not going to be a big deal for you. It's going to be the other people who really are in extreme situations that are going to start complaining about this.
Definitely. I don't think that necessarily is enough to turn me off to it. Like, we've talked on the show before about how if it had to be always connected, I wouldn't be able to do it because my internet connection is terrible. It just cuts out all the time. Like, there's probably nothing stopping me from letting it connect once every 24 hours or whatever. But it's still frustrating. I mean, I wouldn't say that they've entirely lost me. I'm not going to say I'll never buy one. But they would have to have some game that was really, really mind-blowing for me to want one now. And Gears of War and Call of Duty are not it. I've almost played as much as I can play of those games. I haven't played a Call of Duty game in 3 years, and if I never played one again, I don't know that I would even care.
Might have something to do with your terrible internet, though. I mean, if you could play co-op with friends, then you would probably go from as mad for it as everyone else does, because really there's no other online multiplayer game that is as social as Call of Duty. There's nothing else that can compare to it.
Well, that's true. I mean, if I could play it online, it would probably be different, but I don't know. There are about a million games that I really want to play and haven't played, and even if I had the internet connection, if I was wasting hours a night just running around shooting people for no real reason. I mean, it's fun. I would like to do it sometime, but if that opportunity never comes, I don't necessarily feel like I'll be missing out.
You know, but I mean, they announced that they would announce 15 games, 8 of which are new IPs, exclusives. So I think they're going to be all right for that. It's pretty obvious to me that they are going to have some pretty huge announcements. Yeah, they'll announce Halo 5. Yeah, they'll announce Gears of War 4. But they're also going to... I don't know where I got the idea from, but I'm almost certain that they're going to announce something with Rare. Something that will kind of capture the core gamer. Something that will make them go, oh my god. Even if it's just like Cameo 2 or something like that. Something that will really get people excited.
I don't know what Rare could do to really excite me, to be honest. No, I do know what they could do, and it's what they won't do. What they could do is they could make a brand new Conker's Bad Fur Day game. And then I would, that would be the beginning of eroding my current anti-Xbox One stance. That would probably do a lot more than anything else that they're going to do.
I don't even think that it matters. I don't even think it matters what will be coming out for it. I don't think it matters if Rare announce a game. The fact that it would be a Rare game would be it. I think a lot of people would buy into it just for that.
It is possible. All right, so here's another little bit of information. Is it always online? Technically, no. You can still play, like, watch TV and play Blu-rays and, you know, play single-player games. But you still have to be available to, you know, have the internet running somewhere to have it connect like that once a day. The quote here from Phil Harrison is, some bits of the system will work offline. I think the key point to make is that Xbox One requires an internet connection, but it does not need to be connected all the time. We think that most of the biggest games on Xbox One and most of the games and experiences and services you'll want to use will be internet connected. It's the same way of saying all the stuff you want to do is going to require the internet, but if you want to power it on, go for it.
Yeah, and the other thing that they said is that developers can make use of additional cloud processing, and in those games you will need to be connected constantly. So basically what they're saying is probably.
Right. I feel like there's a lot of developers who would choose to do that.
Yeah, definitely. If you own an X1, then there is going to come a time when you're going to have to test your internet connection, basically.
Right. Here's another bit about the Xbox One. I read an article this morning that was talking about how the president of GameStop was in good spirits or something because, oh yeah, everybody said they're going to let us use, or they're going to let used games continue. Like, that's so important to the industry. We have to have used games or whatever. But then you read it and you think, that is not 100% what they said. The fact is, it says, can I play my friend's games on my console? No, unless you're signed into their account.
Yeah.
So that doesn't necessarily mean that used games are going to be a thing you're going to be doing very often. I mean, and what is it they said? If you buy a used game, you then have to buy basically an online pass to unlock the game for yourself.
But there was a Q&A on Kotaku, and they'd asked him, how much is this going to cost? If I go around to a friend's and we want to play the game on his account, it's a brand new game, what will that cost? And the guy they were interviewing said, what would a new game cost? Well, you're going to be buying the full game. So you're probably going to have to be spending at least kind of $40, $50. And that's kind of a conservative guess. At which point you're just buying a new game anyway.
Right, and presumably in a lot of cases they're going to have the digital version of that available right on the Xbox, so you don't need to go get a disc at all. I've got a quote about that here, too. This Harrison guy, man, he's really got all the quotes today, and I'm not impressed with any of them so far. I'll read this to you. He says, I can come to your house, and I can put the disc into your machine, and I can sign in as me, and we can play the game. The bits are on your hard drive. At the end of the PlayStation, when I take my disc home, or even if I leave it with you, if you want to continue to play that game on your profile, you have to pay for it. The bits are already on your hard drive, so it's just a question of going to our online store and buying the game, and then it's instantly available to play. The bits that are on the disc I can give to anybody else, but if we both want to play at the same time, we both have to own it. That's no different to how discs operate today. I don't 100% agree to that. Yes, if you both want to play it at the same time, then you both have to own it. But if I give you, Matt, my copy of Bioshock Infinite, you can play it while I'm not playing it. But presumably, if I'm signed into my account playing Dead Island, for example, you will not be able to also sign into my account and play Bioshock Infinite. That's not the same to how discs operate today.
Yeah, definitely. They again, this is something that they've kind of been a little bit vague on, or at least they've said things that don't really add up. Because, I mean, he's there saying all that, and then, oh yeah, it's the same thing, more or less. And it's obvious that it's not. And anyone that knows anything about anything knows that it's not the same. And, I mean, the big thing I was worried about was that they were saying last night, it's going to be tied to your account. It's going to be tied to your account and there's nothing you can do about it. Except that's not true. It's going to be tied to your account, but anyone on that account, on that console, will be able to access the game through their account. Now, if that's the case, why are we getting conflicting stories?
Right, that's the next bit is, they say if a game is installed on a console, anybody who uses that console can play it through the console's parental controls, you know, if the parental controls allow your account to play the game. We don't know how many accounts this applies to, but that to me says that while it is tied to your account, it must also be tied to a machine, presumably, unless they're saying, like, if you go, you sign into your account on a friend's machine, then he could play it through his account if your account was still on his machine? Is that what we're thinking? Or are they assuming that when you go home, you're going to take your account back and it's going to be off of his machine? Or do you think it is tied to not just your account, but the main system?
I mean, it would make the most sense for it tied to both the account and the system, wouldn't it? If that's what they're going for. I mean, the alternative is that, I could have five accounts across multiple systems and anyone could log in and we could just share games. There'd be nothing to stop us doing that.
I assume it's like the current system, though, where have you ever, gone to somebody's house and signed into your Xbox Live account on their Xbox with a 360?
No, I don't think I have.
I have done that, and it takes my account off of my Xbox at home. When I go back home, I have to sign in,
Oh,
and it
really? Wow.
redownloads my information and takes it from their console, puts it back on mine. I assume it'll work the same way.
Right, okay. Well, this is kind of starting to make sense now. I mean, that's the sign of a fantastic presentation, isn't it? That the people afterwards are still going, okay, exactly how do you think this is going to work?
We're here talking about it. No, they say no news is bad news or no press is bad press. Here we are. We're recording an episode we wouldn't have otherwise done, I guess.
That's true. I mean, the big thing that worried me was that, it doesn't seem right to me that my girlfriend and I would have to spend nearly £100, so $150 almost, on to be able to play the same game on the same system and just have the achievements measured on a different account, because that's what we're paying for.
Right, that seems strange. I don't know. Being a gamer, if you have like a gamer spouse, just got expensive, I guess, if you're buying Xbox.
Because we nearly didn't buy the Vita for exactly the same reason, but it's tied to the one account on each card. In the end, we bought two cards, and with a little bit of mucking about, we can get around that. But if we hadn't have found a way to muck about and get around it, we wouldn't have bought it. And that will be the case with any console in the future, I think that's pretty typical for anyone with families. I mean, whether it's your girlfriend, your wife, your brother, your children, even roommates. To a certain extent, there's going to be a lot of people for whom this account lock-in is a deal breaker. And that's before we even get onto the used game stuff.
Right. That this thing specifically says if a game is installed on the console, anybody who uses the console can play it through the console's parental controls, like I said, but they don't say whether or not that person will have to pay for it. Also, it just says, "Oh no, if it's
Yeah,
installed,
that's true.
anybody can have it." But they might come out later and say if they pay for it, small print, anybody can play it once it's
But
installed, as long as they paid for the license, which
again, I
seems a
mean,
little strange.
we're talking about something that they've yet to 100% confirm. Yeah, I think it was Harrison. Is Harrison, yeah?
Yeah, all
That's
pretty
the
much
bloke's
all of
name,
this
isn't it?
stuff
I think.
is.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought so, but as soon as I said it, I thought, okay. Yeah, Harrison, I'm sure it was him that Kotaku were interviewing yesterday, and he said if you're going to have to spend the full price to share the game. They're going to have to basically spend $60 and then they'll have their license, which is ridiculous because it is going to kill the used game industry either way.
Here's what I want to know. This is a very important question to me, and it's one of the deciders, deciding factors of whether I will want to support Microsoft at all. Say I buy a used game, say GameStop sells it for $5 because they have to, because they're not really selling a game, they're just selling me a piece of plastic that'll let me install a game that I then have to pay $55 for or whatever from the Microsoft store. Whatever the cost of the online pass is, and like you've been saying, it sounds like it's not going to be cheap. It's going to be a significant portion, if not the entire portion, of what the game costs anyway. Who gets the money? Does the money for that online code go to the developer like you sold a game, or is Microsoft just soaking that shit up? Because if it's going to the developer, fine. I try not to buy used games anyway. I like to support the developer. But if buying that fucking code means that Microsoft just gets the money, criminal. And there's no fucking way that I will be purchasing that thing.
It'd be nice to sit here and think that they would share it nicely, that they've been in there, they've got publishing houses, and they'd say, okay, we understand where you're coming from. Let's share this. We'll take 30 or 40%. You can take the 60%. That's about the best you're going to get. I think that rivals Steam. But on the other hand, they could turn around and say, okay, so before you would get nothing off a used sale, and now you can get 10%. You're still getting more than you would otherwise. You're still making a profit where there was no profit before. Deal with it.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me a bit. And that's probably not information that we in the public or even the press will have access to, because there's no incentive for them to tell us that, unless some developer leaks it, which is
No,
possible.
we'll never know that until some indie developer gets pissed off over the whole thing and takes to Twitter, as has been how we found out everything about Microsoft's business practices over the last kind of 7 years.
Yeah, speaking of indie developers, I suspect that what zero of them will be going forward with Xbox One, because PlayStation 4 has made, Sony in general, has just made huge, huge strides in sort of moving towards the indie developers, getting them on the system, making it easier for them. I mean, there's a story every day about an indie developer going, yeah, Microsoft really pissed me off, and Sony was there to pick up the pieces. Like, they're fantastic about it. Meanwhile, Microsoft has slowly turned away from indie developers as much as possible, to the point where I hear that you almost lose money putting it on there because it's so difficult to get it on there. And then once it's on there, people have to dig through like 10 layers of here's Netflix, here's Amazon videos, buy something from the Microsoft shop before you can even find games, let alone finding like a specific indie game you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there was a lot of people last night going, and they're not even supporting indie developers, and it comes down to the fact that they've never supported indie developers. That, I'm trying to think off the top of my head how many indie releases were actually worth buying, how many of them were publicized, or the sort of thing that would benefit from any sort of advertising. And I can only think of maybe two or three. Who's that flying? And that's all I can really think of. On the other hand, it's obvious that, Sony are making an effort, but I don't think it's because Sony are some benevolent indie god or anything like that. They're not there to help these people make the games. It's because they've seen Apple succeed. Let's face it, they wouldn't be doing it unless they knew they could take a slice of that pie. And Microsoft just aren't interested in taking that. The sort of person that they're obviously trying to attract with this console is the sort of person who perhaps wouldn't even check an indie section if they put it in there, if they had the option.
That was going to be my question to you was, do you think that the reason Microsoft has moved away even more from indie developers than they did before is because they just look at the people who play their games, or they think about the people who play their games, that if a game like Journey or Flower were released on 360, nobody would buy it anyway, so forget it. Don't even put the effort in.
I don't even know that it's that much. I mean, Journey and Flower were both pretty heavily Sony backed, and I reckon we'll see things kind of like Braid, where it's definitely there on Xbox Arcade. It's definitely going to get advertising. It's definitely going to get full support, but it'll be for things like Braid. They won't take many risks for the indie developers, I don't think. And I don't think Sony will either. Other than the fact that they'll catalog it nicely, I don't think Sony will be putting a huge amount of effort in. That's the whole point about this self-publication. People can do it themselves on PS4, and Sony aren't going to be putting a lot of effort into regulating that, I don't think.
Probably not. Well, moving on for some other stuff, I'll just hit a couple of points. Does every game have to be installed? Yes. I don't think that's a big deal. I pretty much install every game on the Xbox anyway, just for convenience.
And to add to that, I think that it is like, at least the pre-conference rumors were that it will install as you play. So it's not like you'll have to sit there for hours while the game transfers.
Well, that's kind of neat. It doesn't make me excited, but it doesn't make me angry, which is probably the first time that's happened in this discussion. Sounds like they're wisely going with just one hard drive configuration instead of the 8 or whatever that they experimented with over the life of the 360. It's going to be just 500 gigs, but in the small print it says Xbox One system software uses a significant amount of storage, so less internal storage will be available to users.
It'll probably, I mean, I think that Windows 8 takes up about maybe 30 or to 40. I don't know off the top of my head, but I mean, if it's any the operating system looks very Windows 8. If it's anywhere close to that, I mean, you're still going to have 460 gigabytes. That's quite a lot for the average gamer. It's going to take 12 to 18 months before they even start thinking about approaching that 500 gigabytes.
Right. So, I think we should talk about game rentals, like for example, Gamefly. They're fucked, right? As far as Xbox One is concerned, just fucked.
Pretty much. I think, I mean, we saw it with OnLive. It wouldn't surprise me if we saw it with Sony's Gaikai service. You're going to be able to rent through the system itself. It makes sense. It's going to be more expensive. You're going to be spending probably $10 to have a weekend with a game, but it makes sense and people will use it, so why not? I think they'll make their own solution to this problem.
Yeah, that would be wise for them. And it's not terrible for the consumer, I guess, if that's the way you want to do it. Unless you don't have an internet connection, in which case, I guess you're not buying this system at all. But I don't know. It seems kind of shitty. People will probably still be able to rent their PS4 games from Gamefly, so be excited about that, Gamefly users. All right. I just have to say a second. This kind of occurred to me. Does it seem like Microsoft is really trying to copy Apple here? And people are going to be confused and annoyed, but here's what I mean. What they have built with the Xbox One is just a PC. It basically runs Windows 8. You have to install every game and use the CD key, essentially, like you have done for every single PC game for ages. You don't really have any way of, like, doing used without paying more money for the license, just like a lot of PC games. But it's locked down like a Mac to where you can't access any of the computery bits and get in the back end and screw up. It's just the experience that, like a guided thing. They wanted to give you this experience, and that's what you're going to get.
I think they are. I mean, you've got to consider that they are try that their audience is probably very similar to the sort of audience that supports Apple. I love my iPhone. It's a fantastic device. But if they announced the either way they did, they announced the Apple the iPhone 5. I've got a 4S. I felt absolutely no reason to upgrade. The screen was slightly bigger. I think that was the one improvement there. And maybe the camera was better. And yet there were still lines of people waiting to get it. They didn't know what it did. They knew it was the new one. And it's a fantastic audience to have because you can do whatever the fuck you want, charge whatever the hell you want for it, and then still sell. I can see why it'd be the sort of audience to chase after, and it's the sort of audience that Xbox have got.
Yeah, it just seemed a little silly. Here's the thing I want to get into, where I am going to spin you a tale of, it's obviously going to be a conspiracy theory, and I'll probably be the only one in the world who thinks so, but does the Xbox One work without Kinect? No. You have to have Kinect. It's packaged right in, which is wise, I think. To be honest, I sort of assumed that Xbox One, they would pretend that Kinect never happened, but they aren't doing that. They're going to go ahead and push for it. The quote here is, "The all-new Kinect is now an essential and integrated part of the platform. By having it as a consistent part of every Xbox One game and entertainment, creators can build experiences that assume the availability of voice, gesture, and natural sensing, leading to an unrivaled ease of use, premium experiences, and interactivity for you." Wow, exciting.
Sorry, just while we're on Connect, I did think that it could be a big thing this time round. I was willing to accept that Connect could be awesome. And he started off by saying, "And we're bringing Connect back, and it's going to be awesome. Connect, Xbox on, Xbox home." Instead of saying, "This is why it's awesome," and then pointing at the screen and showing actual Kinect gameplay that works as we expected it did back in 2009 when Mattel was announced. He just said Xbox Home, Xbox ESPN, Xbox Music, and it was a wasted opportunity, and lots of people are now going to just discount it based on that. They had the chance to renew people's excitement for Kinect, and they decided not to do it.
When they first announced Siri for Apple, that little thing where you talk to it and it does whatever, I thought that's so cool. I've never once used it because I feel like a douchebag talking to my devices and telling them what to do. Like, I just...
I do it all the time.
It doesn't interest me. It does not interest me. I could just grab the controller and not open my mouth at all.
I just love talking to it. It's nice thinking that I've got a friend in public places.
So here's the thing I wanted to read you. This is my conspiracy theory. I'm going to read you the whole website. It shouldn't take more than a minute. And you'll probably see where I'm going with this well before the end. All right, this is for something called Chemetric. Chemetric is a revolutionary technology. It delivers real-time analytics for retailers. We help suppliers of goods and services understand their consumer behavior by providing them with a way to measure the effectiveness of indoor marketing campaigns. Using only Kinect devices, Chemetric measures store traffic and gathers information about the actions and interactions of the customers throughout all of the purchasing process, from the window shop to the checkout counter. What is more, due to the anonymous facial recognition system and skeletal tracking, it creates consumer profiles using four different parameters: gender, age, height, and size. It's even able to track up to four different moods: happy, angry, sad, and surprised. How does it work? Chemetric is based on Kinect, a motion sensing input device designed by Microsoft. The technology was originally created for the Xbox 360 video game console, enabling people to interact with the 360 without the need to touch a game controller, as it provides a natural user interface using gestures and spoken commands. Once you go into range of the Chemetric, the Kinect identifies your frame and distinguishes a profile, be that you are female or male, your age, height, and dimensions. All of this information is processed while you are walking around the store. If you're lingering in front of certain products, the Kinect registers the consumer's behavior, and the LCD display will proceed to show content that suits the person viewing, and it is as well as what has caught her attention. Meanwhile, the system produces real-time analytics, giving the retailer information previously unavailable, such as traffic, patterns, conversion rates, time of visit, and bounce rates. In this case, the lady has picked up a sandal, therefore the screen has replicated the sandal, and she can later pick size, color, and other features that may vary with this model, and as much information as the retailer might want to provide. In addition to this, the consumer can interact with the screen, pick out other ensembles that suit her and are related to her profile and her specific choice at the moment. Once she has left that particular product or stand, the display will automatically proceed to play general content again and wait for its next customer. Okay, you can probably get an idea of what I'm thinking. What I'm thinking is the microphone, at least the microphone, maybe the camera, for the new Kinect on the new Xbox is always on. If the console's on, they've said, it's on, it's listening. And I've read many times about how people would just love to be able to get into your living room and find out what you like so that they could tailor all of your experiences specifically to you to make you want to buy more things. In my opinion, there's no reason that Kinect couldn't hear you saying, oh man, I'm so excited for Gears of War. And then the next time, as soon as you start scrolling around the menus, it's like a Gears of War ad every other second. Or you're talking about Call of Duty, they're like, oh, by the way, for no real reason whatsoever, we just remembered that Call of Duty has a new expansion coming out for $400. You want to purchase that right now? Here you go.
I mean, it's possible. Isn't it? It's doable. The technology that we have today, it's definitely something that they could choose to do. It's how they choose to do it. I mean, I've been on the Xbox 360. I've seen how many damn adverts there are, despite the fact that I pay a fee to access those adverts. And they are going to be trying to find new ways to deliver adverts to the end user. And if it wants to build up a series of keywords that I use over and over again in front of my Kinect, I've got absolutely, well, I mean, I'd be hesitant, but I haven't got a big problem with it. If it wants to measure how many times I say the word Call of Duty and then send adverts to Call of Duty for me, at least it's something I play. At least it's something I'm interested in. It's how far they want to take that. If they then want to take other words and not necessarily build ads but use them for marketing, then perhaps then I'd start feeling a little bit nervous about the whole idea.
But so do you think I'm completely crazy, or do you think, like, no, that's definitely what they're using it for? Because the fact that you cannot turn off the Kinect microphone, I feel like there is no other reason, unless it's building metrics about the people who are sitting there talking about it.
I don't know that I'd say you're crazy, but perhaps, I don't know. It's doable. it's how much confidence you've got in Microsoft to obey the law and obey people's privacy.
Yeah, the people in America love having their privacy invaded. Like, they just love it. Do you remember the way people had a fit? Well, that's the thing about people, though. It's kind of strange. People had a huge fit when they found out that everything you ask Siri automatically gets sent to Apple so that they can analyze it or something. And, like, for that reason, there was a lot of businesses who outlawed, like, rival computer businesses that banned the iPhone at the workplace because they were worried that the iPhone would hear their plans for, like, new computers or whatever, and then Apple would find out about it because they're building a database and then steal their ideas. It's adorable that you think Apple needs
That's
to steal your
fantastic.
ideas, HP or
Especially
whoever.
considering most of that list was probably Siri, I'm so lonely. Why don't you have a body? Come on, Siri, talk to me. Make me feel less lonely. And just things like that. There was probably very little company espionage happening and a lot of masturbation.
Yeah, that is very possible, which is upsetting in a whole different way. But do you think the people
Especially
who
for
got
Siri.
do you think the people who got mad about that are just people who hate Apple no matter what? And when those same people hear about this Kinect thing, they'll just be like, whatever.
People like the status quo. They like to think that they've got the rights they've got without really realizing that they've got very few rights. You know, they have to pay most of their paycheck away in taxes one way or another. They have to do this, they have to do that. They can't drive super fast. They have to follow all the laws. You know, so in many ways, people are already doing things in a very certain way. They're already giving up information about themselves on a daily basis to people they don't know, to people they're never going to meet. And when something like this comes along, there's this kind of mock offense. They kind of, my God, what do they think they're doing? And it always passes. You know, if this is true and they're open about it, people are going to buy it anyway, and in a year's time, they'll say it's not so bad. It's like Origin. You know, people are still using Origin in their millions. People complain about it. They say, oh, it's just a bunch of spyware. And yet, people are still using it. People are enjoying it. Well, enjoying it might be strong, but they're tolerating it.
It's pro I'm probably just a particular type of maniac where it's not really the privacy concerns necessarily that bother me. It's just, I don't know, it weirds me out a little bit. I'm a person who doesn't even like, I own a cell phone for the necessity of it if I get in an accident or something, but I don't even like having people who know my number, which is only people that I like. I don't like the idea of them being able to contact me at any time. Like, even people I like, I don't want to hear from anytime they get the urge to talk to me. So, I definitely don't want people who don't know me listening to my conversations in secret and then trying to use that to sell me some shit.
Yeah, I mean there's it's a really big deal, especially if they try and hide it, you know, and the choice between that and the PS4, which probably won't be doing that, or at least it'll be doing it in a different way. It's going to be a no-brainer for that sort of person.
Yep, and that's me again. Once again, PlayStation 4 for life. Everything about Xbox so far, like you said in an article that everyone should read on GamesReviews.com. I really do wonder if this whole thing was a planned disaster so that later they can try to impress people now that like your hope and dreams for the machine are so low. But honestly, like you said, I think the average person they're trying to reach just doesn't care anyway. They were always going to buy it because it said Xbox on it.
There was a huge amount of people that was in. I mean, people that I didn't even know knew about Xbox. Mate, like girlfriends of, like people I'd never met who have just added me on Facebook. People who talk at long length about the fact that their boyfriend does nothing but play games. Were sitting there going, "Wow, look how sexy this next Xbox is." And they'd never play games. They probably never use the current Xbox that's in their house, and yet somehow they felt that it was going well. I was sat here writing the thing up, and my girlfriend was reading comments off of Facebook, and I literally said, "Did they watch the same conference that I watched?" They were saying things that just seemed so out of place, that seemed completely at odds with what I'd seen. It was madness. The funniest thing about it, though, is that like core websites are saying everyone hates it. There has never been so much backlash against a console before. Everyone is just hoping that Microsoft fail after what they've shown. And then you go onto like the BBC website or more mainstream media, and people are saying that it was a success. People are saying that, oh, all their Facebook fans were loving it. People on Twitter were going mad for it. And again, it just seems so at odds with what I saw and what all the people in the gaming press seem to have seen.
I feel like it's just one of those things where they're probably going to sell out of them before they even like put them on the shelves or whatever, because there's two types of people. There's the people who are on the mainstream websites who aren't, you know, they're not following every little thing about gaming, and they're just excited because it's a new console. It doesn't come around that often. They'll probably buy it. It says Xbox. They think it's cool. And then on video game websites, if you're the type of person who visits video game websites frequently, and I should add, uses the comment section on those websites frequently, there is a pretty high likelihood that you're the type of person who fucking complains about everything, no matter what, and not because you don't like it, but just because it's there, just because you want to complain anonymously or whatever. And it's like, they're all still going to buy it. They're going to sit there for the next 6 months or whatever, going, oh my God, Microsoft, oh, those criminals. And then day one, they've already probably put their credit card number into Amazon. They've got a pre-order prepared.
You know, I mean, I just want to, for a second, recap what I said in that article for people that didn't read it. The point was that Peter Molyneux was on IGN's coverage yesterday, and he said something that was very interesting to me. They were talking specifically about how they'd worded the release thing. They said it, Molyneux, they were discussing the difference between worldwide and around the world. Now, on first kind of listen, that sounds exactly the same thing. But no, the implication there is that over the next year, they will be releasing this console around the world. They won't be launching it worldwide. They won't be, it won't just be, there we go, it's released. They're going to be releasing it incrementally across the world. And he was saying that they will have chosen their wording very carefully. They will have made it so that it gives one impression, but it actually says another. And I mean, the fact that he was so sure about that specific wording, it made me think, well, what went wrong for Microsoft last night? Did they go in there thinking, my God, the core gamer is going to love that we're going to talk so much about TVs and that we're not going to show any actual in-game footage? They're going to be so blown away by what we're about to show. No, of course they didn't. They were sitting there. They knew exactly the reaction people were going to have. And I mean, you can come up with your own opinions why that might be, why they might want to do that, but you know, this wasn't an accident. They're not sitting there kicking themselves because people are disappointed that it's always online. They're not sitting there upset that suddenly they've lost, arguably their bi one of the biggest user bases. They know exactly what they're doing. They know that they've only said enough to get people watching at E3. And I'm not saying that they're gonna absolutely amaze people at E3. It would surprise me if they didn't show some really huge games that make all of these people that have been complaining suddenly go, oh, now I've got to buy an Xbox One. But they're gonna be watching. It might all turn around, it might not all turn around. But regardless, they've been talking about it non-stop for 3 weeks between last night and their conference at E3.
I sort of feel like Microsoft has spent the last 5 years or so going, okay, gamers want an Xbox, so don't worry about them anymore. They're going to play games no matter what. And they're probably right. That's what we're talking about right here. They're going to see some games, and in the end, their love of games is going to win over, and they're just going to buy it because there's going to be something they want to play they can't play anywhere else. So don't even worry about them. You don't have to sell to them. The game sells itself to them. Who Microsoft needs to sell to is the people they've been courting for the last 5 years, which is the people who they want to sell it to, who will think of it as the machine you plug into your TV and then you use it for everything. That's where you don't, even if you don't play games, that's who they're trying to sell Xboxes to for a while now, is people who will never play a game. They just grab the controller because they watch TV on there. They download music and movies, and maybe they go on Twitter and Facebook or whatever the hell stupid things you can do on there. And it's like, don't worry about the gamers. The gamers, they'll buy it. They'll see the games. Okay, we need to convince the guys who just need another box or whatever, or just want one box who's going to be their family entertainment system. They turn it on for everything. But the thing is that'll probably work. That's probably going to work on a lot of people. They're going to make a bajillion dollars. This console is not going to be a failure. I'm going to tell you that right now. No matter how stupid, how terrible we all think it is, they're going to make a bajillion dollars. It's going to be fine. But, like, I go upstairs every day. I turn on the TV. My TV has all of that functionality already. It's just an internet-connected TV. I can go on the internet, Twitter, Facebook. I can hit Amazon Instant Video. I can hit Netflix. Anything I want in the world. And on my TV that I can't do that on, I have an Apple TV plugged into it where I can stream everything I've ever bought on iTunes, which is a significant amount. Like, everything. I'm not rebuying that shit. Once I bought all that on iTunes, I was an Apple person for life because I'm not rebuying it all. I own it now. It's in the cloud or wherever. Apple TV's streaming it. I'm not going to turn around and buy it again on the fucking 360 just because. Like, no, I've never used any of that functionality on my Xbox, and I can't imagine why I ever would.
But, you know, this, you're 100% right that they're just trying to cut another audience, but they could have done that at E3, and it would have been the same reaction, and it would have been over with, and they could have had another month where they teased people. I think the fact that they have purposefully had an earlier conference, I mean, just think about it, they reacted to Sony. Within a month or so of Sony's announcement, they said, yeah, we're going to have an early conference as well. And yet the people that would watch that conference and who would be excited by an early conference were ignored. That's why I think E3 is going to be... They can't compete with the PS4 feature by feature. I really don't think they can. Even by what we know for certain, they can't compete with the PS4 in terms of innovation, or in terms of just differences between the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One and the PS3 and the PS4. So they've come up with something to get people talking right up until E3. And if it's because they're lowering expectations or not, it doesn't matter. It means that people are going to be excited for it. And, you know, a lot of people were saying, yeah, they're going to ruin their own brand so that they can just get a little extra publicity, but they're not ruining their own brand. That's the whole point. We have a very short memory as a community. There are people who will remember specific things and repeat them every single time. You know, there are still people who say PS3 has no games. There are still people who say that the PlayStation Network sucks. But most sensible people at this point are going, yeah, but that was 5 years ago. And that's what's going to happen with the Xbox One. It started, we're all going, oh my God, that sucks. It's going to be always online. 5 years' time, we're all going to be going, it's normal now. We all have fantastic internet. None of these things matters anymore. And when we start saying that, Microsoft have won. And like they did with the Xbox 360, Sony are going to have to play catch-up in certain areas. Just like Microsoft are going to have to play catch-up in other areas.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Does this feel like it's all a little bit of history repeating here? Because if you think back to when the Xbox and the PS3 launched, it was like Microsoft was coming from a place of weakness. They had Halo, and that was it. That was all anybody cared about on Xbox. Then they had a pretty strong showing. They made everybody excited about the thing. They released it earlier, which ended up being really good for them, because they, by the time PS3 came out, I mean, in the U.S. at least, a lot of people were like, well, I didn't buy my 360 that long ago. It does a lot of the same stuff. I'm just going to stick with it or whatever. And PS3 ended up playing catch-up for years and years before it even was able to get on the same footing as Microsoft. But now, Microsoft is essentially the top dog in a lot of people's minds. People still think of them as, like, the game machine. So do you think now that they're coming from a place of strength, maybe they have lost sight of, or are out of touch with, the crowd of people who are going to be really excited about this thing the way PS or like the way Sony was, and we're just going to see a reversal of fortunes where what it was the same thing as last time. Now Sony has come out and showed something really good. Presumably they will be launching earlier than Microsoft because they've had information out for a lot longer than Microsoft has. And then Sony's going to turn around and launch with all these amazing things, and Microsoft is going to be like on the back foot for 6 years before they catch up and everything seems normal again.
I really don't think so. I mean, you've got to look at kind of the statistics and that sort of thing. The fact of the matter is the Xbox 360 has failed in a lot of locations. Failed is a strong word, but it has not been as successful as the PlayStation. I mean, other than the UK and the US, there's a lot of places where people will laugh if you own an Xbox 360. And the fact of the matter is Microsoft can't impress Europe. They can't impress Japan. There is no way they're going to win those markets over in a million years. They're Sony countries. They're Sony continents. And that is going to be the way it is forever until Sony really screw up. What Microsoft need to do, and this is kind of the final word on it all, really, because it sums everything up. What Microsoft need to do is they need to carry on court in the US. They need to carry on selling decent amounts elsewhere. And that's what they've done. The average US gamer, and this is statistically, is someone who uses it for games at the weekend and of an evening occasionally. And other than that, they watch sports and they watch Netflix through it. And that is who Microsoft want to rebuy. Anyone else is a bonus. They want to rule the US market, and that's what they've done. They haven't spent a huge amount developing the Xbox One. I mean, they probably have, but they haven't gone overboard. They haven't tried to fill it with hardware that will bankrupt them. They've tried to be quite moderate, and that's how they're going to win. That's how they're going to end up making a profit off the Xbox One. And it's as you said earlier, they're going to manage it 100%. They are going to be a successful console manufacturer for this gen and probably through to the next one.
Yeah, I pretty much agree. I think that's probably all there is to say about it at this point. I'm sure we'll be back on to talk about stuff as more information gets revealed. Maybe as real information gets revealed, because somehow we've just spoken for almost an hour about like six different talking points that they barely clarified.
Exactly. It's just, it's ever so strange. I've never seen such a song and dance about nothing. We know that it can do TV stuff and that it's got a Kinect. But that's the case for the 360. What do we know now that we didn't know yesterday? The fucking name, Xbox One.
Yep. Well, I guess we'll all be looking forward to E3 to find out some real information. But as far as I'm concerned, and as far as a lot of people I think in the press are concerned, they have to impress me now. Maybe they've already got the guy who, like you said, they're trying to sell it to the guy who I feel like they don't need to sell it to because he was always going to buy it anyway. You got to sell it to me now, and I'm not going to say that they won't do it, because in the end, like I said, I'm a gamer. I like to play games. There's going to be enough games on there that I really want to play that in the end I'm going to get suckered into buying the damn thing. But I'm not excited for it. I'm not sitting around thinking, God, I got to get one of these the day it comes out. And with PS4, I feel that way a little bit. I probably won't do it. I won't be able to afford it. But if I don't get an Xbox One, based on what I know right now, which admittedly isn't anything, if I don't get an Xbox One until 3-4 years from now, I don't even care. Doesn't even matter. I have enough games to play still on from this generation that I don't even feel like I'll be that behind.
That come E3, there's going to be a lot of people with open mouths going, that was amazing. When they start showing the core things and some of these 15 exclusives, people are going to change their tune. And people who stick to the kind of anti-consumer angle, they are going to be very torn between getting what is going to be effectively a decent console, if not a comparison to the PS4. And a console that kind of takes away what they expect from something they've bought.
Well, you'll know if I'm impressed. When they finally impress me with this thing, you'll get an email in your inbox that just says, "Well, shit." And then I'll somehow
They
trace
finally
my
announced
middle finger
Conker's
onto it.
Bad Fur Day 2.
Yeah, as soon as that happens, it's over. It's trouble. Then I'm gonna want Well, I think it's time we wrap it up. I think we've talked exhaustively about the Xbox One, which was never the plan, but we've done it anyway. But thanks for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you.
All right, we will be back with a regular episode and some other specials coming up here in the next few days. Until then, we are out.